Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich. And this morning's episode is entitled The General Who Was Cleansed of Leprosy and Cured of Pride. I'm going to be reading from 2 Kings chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Now Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and had taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman went to his master and told him what the girl from Israel had said. "By all means, go," the king of Aram replied. "I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 sets of clothing. The letter that he took to the king of Israel read, "With this letter, I am sending my servant Naaman to you so that you may cure him of his leprosy." As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, "Am I God? Can I kill and bring back to life? Why does this fellow send someone to me to be cured of his leprosy? See how he is trying to pick a quarrel with me." When Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message: "Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, "Go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed." But Naaman went away angry and said, "I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than any of the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed?" So he turned and went off in a rage. This is a very powerful and substantive narrative. And there is so much to unpack in this narrative, because of its unique applications with regard to the life of the general Naaman and its universal application. and the timeless principles that are contained within the narrative for us. Now, the king is believed the king of Aram is believed to have been Ben-Hadad II. And this was a throne name or a title. And we are given the information with regard to the office of Naaman. We are told that he was commander of the army of the king of Aram. And we are also told that he was indeed a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded. That is, he had renown. And because through him, we read, the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Leprosy, in the Old Testament, has both a physical and a spiritual application, which we shall get to shortly. But I want you to note the sentence at the end of verse 1. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. It is very interesting to note in this narrative that, yes, indeed, we see and note that Naaman had leprosy that is given to us. What is not told us immediately is the fact that Naaman was asymptomatic for pride. And so there is a very powerful correlation going on here between the symptomatology of leprosy and the fact that he was also asymptomatic for pride. But at the end of verse 1, he had leprosy. But is the, here we are given a conjunction of contrast in the Hebrew. But he had leprosy. He was highly regarded. He was a great man in the sight of his master. The Lord had given him great victory. But he had leprosy. So we have a conjunction of contrast. But presents the halt in every human life. But he was a leper. There are 5 words in English, only 2 in Hebrew, which is very interesting in itself. In Hebrew, it is Haya Ish. And so, leprosy, according to Leviticus 13, was a very serious affliction. Very serious affliction. And we are given some very insightful information about leprosy in Leviticus 13. Please note that in the Old Testament, the priests were both the religious leaders, and they were also the public health officials during that time. And leprosy was a disease that began deeper than the skin, deeper than the skin. And so it was the job of the discerning public health official priest to watch the development of the disease. And we are given its course also in Leviticus chapter 13. And I would like for you to note that the name Leviticus in Hebrew means, and he called. And he called. And so God called his people to holiness. God called his people to set themselves aside only unto him. God called his people to be distinct. God called his people to be separated from sin. God called his people to be in fellowship with him, a word that means to hold joint things in common in the Greek New Testament, the word fellowship, which has nothing to do with food in a dining hall, but to have joint things in common with God. And so in Leviticus 13, leprosy, we're told in verse 3, begins deeper than the skin. In verse 7, we're told that it spread. In verse 45 of Leviticus 13, we're told that leprosy that defiles or makes an individual unclean. In verse 46, we're told that it isolates. So it just so happens, through divine providence, it just so happens that there is a young girl, in verse 2, had been taken captive from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. It just so happened that she is there. And here is another nameless witness in Scripture, but who served God during this time. And it is through divine providence that this young girl had been placed as the servant to Naaman's wife, who knew, and she knew of the master's condition, and she was there strategically placed by Yahweh to give her testimony. Notice what she says. Verse 3. She said to her mistress, "If only my master would see the Nabi who is in Samaria, or prophet, he would cure him of his leprosy." And it is interesting that she's in the Hebrew, he would remove him from his leprosy. And so we see the faithfulness of this young girl, her faithfulness to Yahweh. She has a testimony with regard to the God of Israel, and she knew of the nation's reputation. She knew of the prophet's power. And so her suggestion and her testimony came at a very, in a well-timed manner, because now the general was in crisis. And he needed to make a decision. And isn't it interesting how God has to wait until we are in crisis? And he has someone strategically placed in our lives, because many times for us, it is only at that point, only at that time, that we are willing to hear under, that is, we are willing to be obedient to the word of God. We must be in crisis. Naaman is in crisis. and he has a disease that threatens to take over his life. And he wants to get this taken care of. And so the integrity of this young girl comes through. And because Naaman is crisis, he listens, he hears, with a view to obey. Deuteronomy 6:4, the first word is Shema, or hear. Shema Yisrael Adonai Eloheinu Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel. And Shema means to hear with a view to obey. In the Greek New Testament, the word for hearing is akouo. That is, it means the same thing, to hear with a view to obeying what is heard. And so, one of the most egregious and heinous sins in the Word of God is a failure to hear under, a failure to hear, which means rebellion. We read about this type of rebellion in the Jonah narrative, where Yahweh had come to Jonah and had given him a specific ministry, a specific word to a specific people. Go to Nineveh. And God wanted to send Jonah, and God had planned to send Jonah to a people that had been, that had terribly abused Jonah's people. And Jonah rebelled. And so literally it reads, and Jonah reared up against the revealed will of God for his life. Jonah reared up. Isn't that interesting? And so Naaman in crisis hears under, that is, he hears with a view to obeying. He hears with the understanding that he will be in submission to what is heard. And so he prepares to leave, and he does leave. We read in verse 5, by all means, go. And this is the king of Aram speaks to Naaman. By all means, go. I will send a letter to the king of Israel. So Naaman left, taking with him 10 talents of silver, or 750 pounds of silver, and 6,000 shekels of gold, or 150 pounds of gold, and 10 cents of clothing, and he sets out. Verse 6, he goes to the king of Israel, who reads this letter, which reads, again, quote, with this letter I am sending my servant Naaman to you, so that you may cure him of his leprosy. And I love the Hebrew. It reads, remove him from his leprosy. I love that. As soon as the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his robes and said, am I God? So the king misconstrued the letter and thought this was a pretext to get him to go to war. And so, verse 8, Elisha, when the man of God, Elisha hears. So when the man of God heard that the king of Israel had torn his robes, he sent him this message. Why have you torn your robes? Have the man come to me, and he will know that there is a prophet in Israel. So, verse 9, Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha doesn't bother to come out to meet Naaman. Verse 10, Elisha sends a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourselves 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored to you, will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Very simple instructions. Naaman had started on this road, on this journey of obedience, and Naaman believes that this journey only has to do with his leprosy, only had to do with this outward physical disease manifestation, only with the symptoms of what he was suffering, and only with his leprosy, the physical ailment, period. That is Naaman's understanding of his condition, period. He understood himself merely to have a physical ailment. But notice the prescription, of the mission. He doesn't go to meet him, but he sent a messenger to say, go wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored, and you will be cleansed. Very simple prescription. And Elisha knew that this prescription would be heard differently by Naaman. Notice what happens. But Naaman went away angry. Instead, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the spot and cure me of my leprosy. Very, very interesting. Elisha was the man of Elohim. And the man of Elohim knew that Naaman had another condition of which he was unaware. In Naaman's experience, there is no way for him to be aware of his pride. And there is no way to tell that he was asymptomatic for the disease of pride. But nevertheless, the prophet knew. Naaman went specifically to Elisha to help him to alleviate or to get rid of a physical disease, period. But the God of Israel, Yahweh Elohim, deals with the whole person. Yahweh has a holistic approach to our salvation. Naaman wanted to be healed of a disease. Yahweh wanted to heal the man, the totality of the person. And so this escapes Naaman. This awareness, this understanding escapes him. And he does not understand why the prophet refused to see him. And so we are told in verse 11 that Naaman went away angry and said, I thought. This is where Naaman reveals who he is. I thought. And so he had preconception. He had conclusions. He had certain expectations. And Elisha did not meet his expectations. He was not greeted with fanfare. Elisha did not come out before him and meet him and put on a show. Naaman was prepared to pay the physician his fee for curing him. And the physician was not interested in either his silver or gold or clothing. He had no interest in these things. Didn't mean anything to him. I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. If you read, so he went, so he turned and went off in a rage. But Naaman's servants went to him and said, "My father, the prophet had told you to do some great thing, but you not have done it. How much more then when he tells you, wash and be cleansed?" So he went down. And this is a very powerful statement because it shows what has to happen. One must break through that wall of pride. So he went down. This is an act of faith. This is a powerful act of faith. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. Now, the prophet had to get Naaman to the point where he understood humility. Humility is a modest or low view of one's importance, whereas pride represents an inflated and unrealistic and outrageous view of oneself. Verse 14. So he went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. In Scripture, the word seven is the term of completeness. The number six is the number of incompleteness. It is the number of a man, the number of men. Seven, however, is the number of completion. And as the man of God had told him, his flesh was restored, and he became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and all his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Please accept now a gift from your servant." The prophet answered, "As surely as the Lord lives, I will not accept a thing." And even though Naaman urged, he refused. Beloved, we have to come to the point in our lives where God helps us to recognize our pride, the fact that we need his help. But pride may be keeping us from going before the living God, bowing down to him, and giving our lives to him. If you know someone who is asymptomatic for pride, who is diseased by pride and is completely unaware of it, or if there is pride in your own heart, and there is pride in my heart, and God makes me constantly aware of it, just ask him. Ask for his grace to help you to recognize and bow before him with your need. My name is John Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.